Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He probably spent too much time with Pastor Dan the week before because he had lost his voice. So, Pastor Brent, I hope you're not next, and I certainly hope I don't lose mine. Of course, about 12:30, quarter to one, you may hope that I lose mine. Our theme, I have interrupted our theme throughout the year with preaching out of the overflow of my devotions. I've enjoyed it. We're back into the theme, which is being found faithful stewards. And we've talked about truth and time and treasures. And we also are giving a few sermons to this matter of our tongue or our communications, because it's more than just our tongue. In our world today, in the techie world in which we live, then of course, the Word of God covers every era of time. It's a timeless book, and it's going to help us today see this matter about communications, because there is a moral and an immoral use of social media today that we need to be cautious about in the world in which we live. The Bible speaks much to this. And I hope and trust that you and even our teenagers that are here and our young adults that are here this morning, I hope that you will take heed to this matter of the verse that I'm going to deal with today concerning our communications. We will cover talents and our thought life before the end of the year. I'm going to give a couple of more sermons in this area. And so that will complete this year's theme. And next year's theme, we're hoping to center around. We haven't quite got it tweaked just yet, but it's going to be centered around personal soul winning and reaching others with the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, before we look at the central verse, may I just remind you about this chapter. It can be broken down into five parts. And these five parts centers around the need of the church. The need of this church was that they get the resurrection right. They had false prophets and false teachers that were teaching doctrine contrary to the Apostle Paul. They even brought his credentials into question, hoping they could sway the church. They had wormed their way into the church. And so Paul deals with this entire chapter is all about the resurrection. In the first 11 verses, we see the proof of the resurrection. And then in verses 12 through 19, we see the preaching of the resurrection. In verses 20 through 34, we see the prospect of the resurrection. And in verses 35 through 50, we see the promise of the resurrection. And then in verses 51 through 58, we see the prosperity of the resurrection. You see, the first part of this chapter talks about the basic fundamental doctrine. Verses 12 through 19 reveals to us our biblical responsibility. 22 through 34 talks about our blessed hope. 35 through 50 speaks of our bodily resurrection. And 51 through 58 deals with our belief that we can live in victory. So Paul is dealing with the resurrection, and I want you to keep that in your mental meal, because tonight, in another book of the New Testament, we're going to talk about the resurrection. It has nothing to do with communication tonight, but I want you to keep that in your mind, because you are faithful church members and you'll be back to hear the message. But in the middle of this entire chapter, we come across one verse that becomes the crowning point, because evil communications were being given and Paul was trying to prevent that. Matter of fact, he was going to teach them that there's great corruption in evil communications. And so I want us to see that as we launch into this verse this morning. Be not deceived, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Would you read that out loud with me, please? And let's get that in our minds and hearts this morning, because I want to take this verse apart for us today. Read with me out loud. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In this treatise that Paul gives to the people that he loves, he was facing the greatest challenge in this church's history. This is what preachers do. Preachers see an overall need, and then preachers respond to that need. Now, pastors need to respond in kindness and in graciousness and compassion, but sometimes it's his responsibility to rebuke or reprove or correct, but he does it, as the New Testament teaches, in all long-suffering and doctrine. He uses truth to combat error. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here. In this longest passage about the resurrection, we find cuddled in the very middle of all of it, verse 33. I want to point out three things to you about that by way of introduction this morning concerning our communications. And if they become corrupt, what corrupt communications will do to us. Paul is giving us a key to victory and a key to success in this passage, so that our communication will be as Jesus said, let your communication, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. In other words, say the same thing and live out the same thing. So all throughout the New Testament, whether it's the ministry of Christ or whether it's ministry of the Apostle Paul, there is a teaching that's so vitally important, especially in the culture in which we live today, about communications. Because we can tweet something and we can say something on social media, and you can never take it back. Delete does not mean delete. You have to understand that. Once it's in cyberspace, it is out there for the world to explore and for people to explore. We tell our students, be careful about what you say on social media, because one day if you apply to go into the military or if you apply to have a government job, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do all kinds of checks on you, right down to talking to your neighbor personally. I've had them knock on my door and ask about my neighbors. And so if you have any foresight whatsoever about enjoying life, we have to be careful about what we put out in our communication, whether we say it or whether we send it. Both can be detrimental. So here's what I want us to see. First of all, notice the strong wake-up call. And I mean, it is very strong. Paul says, look at the first three words, be not deceived. So here is a warning. Here is a wake-up call. The word deceived means this. It means to roam away from safety. Isn't that amazing? That's what happens when we're deceived. We roam away from safety. When the world says, go ahead and say it. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and tweet it. Go ahead and take a picture and send it. When the world is laughing and everyone thinks it's cute, when really it's not, we have roamed. We have allowed ourselves to roam from safety. Now, of course, we do not give teenagers a pass on this. They should not roam from safety. But may I speak to all the fathers here today? Neither should you. Neither should I. We shouldn't roam from safety either. Another phrase that describes this word deceived is that we drift away from truth. Oh, the problems drifting causes. Or again, another phrase, to believe that moral virtue is no longer important. Or, in this case, in this church, it doesn't matter what Paul says about the resurrection. It is already past, and you have missed it. That was the heresy of the day. That was the communication that deceived the church, that caused them to roam from the truth. The Authorized Version translates this word deceived, go astray, err, seduce, wander, and be out of the way. So may I sound this warning to all of us this morning that we desperately need to listen to the wake-up call. Your phone can get you in serious trouble. I want to say that again. There was only one amen down here in this corner. Your phone can get you in trouble. And yet sometimes we act as if we don't believe that. I've said to you recently that one parent told me that the worst thing I ever did was give my child a cell phone too early. That's a confession by one of our parents in this church to their pastor. We have to be so careful. The second thing I want us to see in this verse is not only the strong wake-up call, but notice the specific sin that is exposed. Notice what it says. Evil communications. Now, first of all, I want to speak to this matter of communications. Because evil is in front of it, that makes the communications evil. But not all communication is evil. Now, how do we know that? We know that by what this word means. The word communication is a great word. Homilia is the Greek word. The only reason I give that to you is for you to think with me. What Greek word has given us the word for sermon? If you've done any research whatsoever on this word or others like it, it is the word homily. A homily is simply a sermon delivered, and in the old country they would call it a homily. The pastor will now deliver his homily. That's this word, communication. So it's a very good word. I want you to notice, and I say this in tongue in cheek, there's no time put on a homily in the Greek language. Isn't that wonderful? I like that. What it is referring to is connecting people. And we live in a world, we want to even say it on the front page of our website, get what? Connected. We live in a world that wants to connect with one another. And that is a good thing. This word communication, homilia, a homily, a sermon. Someone is going to get together and connect over truth. That's what Paul was saying. When he used this word homilia, the people knew exactly what he was talking about. Paul is telling us that these false preachers over here has been giving us evil homilies. They've not been true. They have been false accounts about the resurrection. Listen, now watch this. If we do not get the resurrection right, we're in trouble. We have to have the resurrection right. If not, of all men, we are most miserable, Paul says in this chapter. He makes it very clear. So communication is a good word. And by implication, it brings people together. It brings a pastor to his congregation and connects them. I'm connecting with you this morning in my homily. I see no one sleeping right now. Good luck an hour from now. What was Paul doing? He was connecting with the church at Corinth. That's what he was doing. He was connecting.
These words are so important, especially when it comes to communications. In Bible college, I took 2 semesters of homiletics. Comes from this Greek word, homilies. What is homiletics? It is the art and the science of preparing and preaching a sermon. So we are trained at it. When we get to seminary, the courses get deeper and they help us even more. Such courses as the history of preaching, the ministry of preaching. Get this one, pulpit communications, pulpit homilies, expository preaching, using languages in your preaching. All, and it could go on and on and on. Sometimes during the course of my sermon, you will hear me say something like this. Today, I want to draw you into the sermon or into the text. What am I trying to do when I say that? I'm trying to connect with you. It's important that you understand that you even get that desire. Sometimes I will say it this way. We want to trailer this New Testament principle into our lives today. What are we doing? Now we are taking truth, and I'm connecting you to the truth of the Word of God. Or maybe I'll say something like this. Let's turn the prism, and let's look at this from another angle so that we can apply it to our lives. Why do I say things like that? Because I'm connecting with you, hopefully. I want you to get tuned in. I want to communicate with you. The aim of every preacher should be to communicate his sermon to his listeners. If not, they'll not be able to function together. It's not my desire to wow you this morning or to impress you or to purposely get an amen from you, although amens genuinely given are not wrong. So it's not about storytelling and being a stand-up comic or being a feel-good preacher all the time. Communication sometimes is tough. It's hard. It exposes our wrong. It moves us to make our wrong right. That's what preaching does. I recently said that it's important that every member of our church hear every sermon. I got to thinking about that. And I wondered, since 1979, how many sermons I've delivered. Just taking 3 times a week is 156 sermons a year that you have to endure, that you come so graciously and sit and hear and listen to me. Since 1979, I've delivered 6,200 sermons. I have copies of all of them in my study. Since being your pastor, if you have been here from the beginning, a little over 10 years ago, you have heard over 1,500 sermons. Now, my problem is I think you ought to remember every one of them. But then I have to remember that you probably couldn't remember what your wife fixed for your lunch last week, but it evidently was healthy for you. Sermons do us good. But our text doesn't speak of just any kind of communication. Now that we know what the word communication means, homilia, it speaks of evil communications. And the word evil is the word kakos. It is quite a nasty word. It means worthless talk, depraved information, injurious words given to deceive and hurt others. It is translated bad, harmful, ill, noisome, wicked, lewd, malicious, and grievous. Those are all synonyms that the translators used in our English Bible to give us the meaning of evil. Think about it just for a moment. Communications that are absolutely worthless talk, a worthless text, a worthless picture. Paul warned more than one church about this. Here's what he said at the church at Colossae. "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy." Are you ready for this? "Filthy communication." And that word "filthy" is the word "vile." And the word "communication," interestingly enough, is the word "kakos." "All filthy communication out of your mouth." At the church of Ephesus, he said it this way: "Let no corrupt communication, let no kakos proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Even Jesus sounded off on this word kakos. "But let your communication," let your kakos, "be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatever is more than these come of evil." If you can't tell the truth, it's going to be evil communications. Filthy communications, Paul said in Colossians 3. And any communication that is filthy becomes shameful eventually. Anything that we send over social media, whether it'll be our opinion or a picture, it can be our shame. It is vile. The word "filthy" is the word "venal," bent to wrong, degenerate. It reveals a heart bent toward vile wickedness and proves that the heart of that communicator is degenerate. Now, that is strong language. But I want you to hear your pastor clearly this morning. If your child has a phone, you better listen carefully. If they're still living in your home, you have every right to monitor and collect that phone every day. You have every right to connect to their phone, and every time they send a text, it bings you, and you can read it. You see, I'm not trying to be hard on our teenagers. I'm trying to help our teenagers not ruin their life, because you can do it that fast, so quickly. We have to be careful that we do not reveal that our heart is bent toward venal things. And what is in the heart eventually comes out of the mouth, translates into our thumbs, into our finger with a click, with the taking of a picture. And this word in Eastern culture is quite strong. Can I give it to you? Buckle your seatbelts. In Eastern culture, if your communication became corrupt or filthy, now I just dealt with those words and what they meant, one could get the nickname kakos, meaning that based on your vile and venal conversation, you have become inwardly foul and rotten. I can't even in mixed company tell you the roots of that word. It is nasty. It is filthy. And I trust that you will connect to my preaching this morning. Are you listening? Connect to the preaching this morning. Because he says, "Be not deceived." He gives us fair warning. Don't let yourself roam away from truth. Don't let yourself roam away from what your parents have taught you and what your pastor teaches you and your youth pastor teaches you and your Christian school teacher teaches you, and your grandpa and grandma teaches you. If we are going to save a generation, we have got to become serious about our communication. This is the thing that is destroying our generation. It's destroying our kids. It's destroying fathers. They can't keep their nose out of it either. It's destroying women. They can't keep their nose out of it either. And if you are in the secret of your heart struggling with social media inside, knowing that you have sent things that you should not have sent, and here you are sitting with your children in this service, I just want you to remember that your sins visit your children. You can't blame grandma and grandpa. You can't blame history, how they were raised. There's no excuse. We have the truth, and God expects us to obey the truth. When we don't, we forfeit a whole lot. We give up privilege. We lose privilege. That is the consequence of sin. Some wise mother said that she spoke strongly to her children and said, "You may choose your sin, but you can't choose the consequences of your sin." Smart mama. She's here today. I give her credit. So the strong wake-up calls. We are without excuse. Our sin is exposed. We are without excuse. But would you see with me, please, the third thing I want to show you? And that is the sequel that follows our deception. Look at the rest of the verse. Let's get it all. Would you read it with me again out loud? And let's put emphasis on the last three words. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Will you read it with me again? Real loud, especially when we get to the last three words. I mean, really let the people on Rockville know you're here, okay? All right, let's read it strongly out loud. This is the word of God. If you believe it, speak up. This is the word of God. Let's read it out loud, putting an emphasis like Pastor would when he preaches, connecting with truth. Let's read it out loud. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now I want to deal with that. Corrupt. It's the word in our English language, spoiled. It's a process through many different sundry ways of our communications. We have many today that we ruin our testimony, our lives. We destroy our moral values with it. We degrade our own character by what we ask for and by what we send. If you have not already talked to your teenage daughters that they could get a text from a young man saying, "Would you mind sending me a nude picture of yourself?" You better go home and have a talk with your daughters. You better go home and have a talk with your daughters. When we corrupt our good manners, you see, our good manners refers to the employed graciousness of a believer. And that believer should be able to communicate properly and graciously and morally correct. You see, good manners is what others hear of you and hear what you say and watch what you do. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, mom and dad, here it is. Are you ready? You can talk to your children, like my mother used to say, till I'm blue in the face. How many of you heard that phrase? Okay. I've talked to you till I'm blue in the face about this, Ricky. Boy, she would scold me good. What was my mother trying to do? Be mean? I mean, after all, she was a sergeant in the army. She wasn't trying to be mean. She was trying to help her stupid son. That's what she was trying to do. She was trying to help me. We can talk until we're blue in the face all about what you should say, what you should avoid, what you should not say, and what you do not have to avoid. But the character and heart of your child will come out on their phone and their computer. The real heart of your child is on their phone. It's on their computer. The real heart. You can pay all this money for Christian education, send them to a Christian college. But the real heart of your children are in a device they hold every day. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So let's think about this verse just for a moment. We must guard about being deceived with kakos communication, vile, venal communication. Is nothing more than a spiritual cancer inside that's eating away at our adults and our children. If not, we run the risk of not only ruining our testimony, but changing the course of our life forever. Changing the course of our life forever. And the very thing you may want in life, you will be denied because you could not control yourself when it comes to social media and your conversation. So we must be thinking all the time, what am I going to say? We must have our antenna up. We cannot play the innocent card. We must be thinking. You've got to teach your children to think. A lot of responsibility. Do you know that what's been on some young people's phones, they have been arrested and taken to juvenile detention and charged with a crime? It has happened. And it will happen again. Be not deceived. The Bible is very clear. Evil communication. Kakos homilies. That will destroy your testimony. So in our personal conversation, got to be careful about what we say at the office, at the water cooler, what we say in the car going to lunch, what we say in the gym, what we say in the lunchroom. Have to be careful what we say at the table when we go fellowship with our Christian friends. Evil communications corrupts good manners. We have to be careful about writing down our feelings on paper, drawing pictures, sending pictures over our phones, asking for pictures to be sent to you. Be careful about what you say on the telephone, what you email. Careful about what you tweet, what you post on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. And tomorrow they will have another way that through the social media that we can communicate. What is it saying? It is saying that our world wants to connect, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should want to connect. That's a desire that God has given us. He even wants us to connect with Him through salvation. He even wants us to know that we are saved. And you and I must heed all of the warnings that I've given you in a half a dozen verses, this will make six. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We live in a world that is constantly communicating. We want to do it right, that's all. We want you to have the ability to have your phone and use it properly. We want all of that. And God is going to entrust that to you and to me. But we cannot put it in neutral and think we're going to make it through. We have to have our antenna up. We have to be thinking. How many times have you told your teenage daughter or your teenage son, "What were you thinking?" Parents, don't look at me so dumbfounded. We've all said that to our kids. If you've got teenagers, you've said it. What were you thinking? I asked that question one day to my own daughter. As I found out 15 minutes before I was going to preach on a Sunday night, that she had really messed up. And I said to her, "We're not going to deal with this right now. I'm going to preach in 15 minutes. But when we get home, that family that you were involved with your shenanigan, breaking the rule, is going to be in our home, and we're going to get to the bottom of this." When we got home, we did not go to Burger King or Dairy Queen. We went into our family room, and I set the family down, and their teenage daughter and my teenage daughter, and here we go getting all the facts. And I looked my daughter in the eyes, and I said, "What were you thinking?" Now, I said that to her enough that she has three foster children. When they were in our home last, I heard her say it to a five-year-old. We have to be thinking. God put a wonderful mind between our ears. You are special. You can think things through. And you and I have the distinct opportunity to allow our Savior into our hearts, that gives us the Holy Spirit, where we do not have to follow our depraved heart. Who can trust it? No one, not even yourself. So Hollywood and Hallmark tells us that we should follow our hearts. It's the worst advice you could ever get from anyone. Here's what we follow right here. This book. The principles of it, the commandments of it, the precepts of it, the judgments of it. This is our standard. This is what we base our faith and practice on. And because of it, saved people can think it through. That doesn't mean, young people and moms and dads, that we do not stumble along the way. I preached a message on that just recently. We all do. But it's what we do in the stumble that makes the difference. There has to be genuine repentance unto sorrow so that God can restore us. It's been a whole sermon last week helping us with that. Why? Because the Bible says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And when our manners get corrupted, our lives are affected. And what we may want in life, we are denied because we spent our young years doing sinful, foolish things that's now not hid in secret for someone to accuse you of later, but is in cyberspace floating around for someone to find it and deny you the very job you would love to have. But they can't trust you because you've proven yourself so vile and venal on your cell phone. That is pressure. And it's good pressure. And it all begins when we give our heart to Christ. Have you done that? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has He been helping you think clearly about these things? Or are you caught up? Have you been lured away? Have you roamed away from the truth? Do you not have any Holy Spirit to bring you back? Then the greatest thing you can do is be saved today. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And then that doesn't make you sin-proof. That doesn't mean that you will not be tempted. And it doesn't mean that you will not fall. And it doesn't give you a license to do it. But people who really have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them have a hope inside that says, and has a conscience inside that says, you shouldn't be doing that. And that's the difference. When there is no voice from God, then we just unleash all kinds of crud. And we become rotten inside. Filthy. And eventually, like that mother said, you may choose your sin, but you will not choose your consequence. God does that. It's so important. How is your communications? Corrupt? Are they promoting good behavior? You have to make a decision on that. You have to be honest with yourself. God help us to rear a generation that's going to respect the technology that they have, or else that technology will trap them and ruin their life. And we have to hear sermons like this in order to keep our hearts and minds right about it. Would you stand with me, please?